Chapter 26. Jesus, what's all that red gunk in the air? I don't remember that from the last time we were here. It's almost as if it's glowing. The bloody stuff's covering the whole of the Julith tributary network. Look! Joshua abandoned the Lady Mac's sensor input and turned to Melvin Ducharme on the acceleration couch next to his. Don't look at me. I'm just a simple fusion engineer. I don't know anything about meteorology. Try the Mercs. They're all planet-bred. Joshua mused. Relations between the Lady Mac's crew and the mercenary scout team they were carrying hadn't been exactly optimal during the voyage. Both sides kept pretty much to themselves, with Kelly Tyrrell acting as diplomatic go-between when she was out of the 3-4 sex cage. That girl had certainly lived up to her side of the bargain, he thought contentedly. "Anybody care to hazard a guess?" he called. The rest of the crew on the bridge accessed the images, but no one volunteered an opinion. Amaris was slowly turning round into their line of sight as they closed on the planet. Nearly half of the continent was already in daylight. From where they were, still 100,000 kilometres out, the Julith and most of its tributaries were smothered in a nebulous red haze. At first inspection, it had looked as though some unique refraction effect was making the water gleam a bright burgundy. But once the Lady Mac's long-range optical sensors were focused on Lalonde, that notion had quickly been dispelled. The effect was caused by thousands of long, narrow cloud bands in the air above the surface of the water, clinging to the tributary network's multiple fork pattern with a startling accuracy. Although, Joshua realized, the bands were much broader than the actual rivers themselves. Where the band first started, just inland from the mouth of the Julith, it was almost 70 kilometres across. "I've never seen anything like it on any planet," Ashley said flatly. "Weird stuff, and it's still glowing, Joshua. You can see it stretching beyond the Terminator all the way to the coast." "Blood," Melvin intoned solemnly. "The river's awash with blood, and it's starting to evaporate." "Shut it," Sarah snapped. The idea was too close to the thoughts bubbling round in her own mind. "That's not funny." "Do you think it's hostile?" Dyby asked. "Something of Latham's." "I suppose it must be connected with him," Joshua admitted uneasily. "But even if it is hostile, it can't harm us at this distance. It's strictly lower atmosphere stuff, which means it may be a hazard for the Merc scouts, though. Sarah, tell them to access the image, please." They were less likely to insult a woman. A grumbling Sarah requested a channel to the lounge in Capsule C, where the 7 mercenary scouts and Kelly Tyrrell were lying on acceleration couches as the Lady Mac accelerated in towards Lalonde. There was a gruff acknowledgement from her AV pillar, and Joshua grinned in private. The flight computer alerted him that a coded signal was being transmitted from the Gemmell. "We've detected an unknown atmospheric phenomenon above Amarisk," Terence Smith said pedantically. "Yeah, those red clouds sticking to the tributaries," Joshua answered. "We see it too. What do you want us to do about it?" "Nothing yet. As far as we can make out, it is simply polluted cloud, presumably coming from the river itself. If a sensor sweep shows it to be radioactive, then we will reassess the landing situation, but until then, proceed as ordered." "Aye, aye, Commodore," Joshua grunted when the channel was closed. "Polluted cloud," Melvin said in contempt. "Biological warfare," Ashley suggested in a grieved tone. "Not nice. Typical of Latin, mark you, but definitely not nice."
"I wonder if it's his famed proteanic virus," Dyby said.
"Doubt it. That was microscopic. And it didn't glow in the dark either. I'd say it has to be radioactive dust." "Then why isn't the wind moving it?" Sarah asked. "And how did it form in the first place?"
"We'll find out in due course," Warlow said with his usual pessimism. "Why hurry the process?"
"True enough," Joshua agreed. The Lady Mac was heading in towards the planet at a steady 1G. As soon as each ship in the little fleet had emerged from its final jump into the Lalonde system, it had accelerated away from the coordinate, the whole fleet spreading out radially at 5Gs to avoid presenting an easy target grouping. Now they were holding a roughly circular formation, 20,000 kilometres wide, with Gemmell and the cargo ships at the centre. The 6 Black Hawks were already decelerating into low orbit above Lalonde to perform a preliminary threat assessment.